Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Episode of the Three Beards Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your other host, Ken Lee. How are we doing today, Ken?
Pretty good, pretty good.
And how are you, I'm doing pretty well. And we have Tyler here as well, the two of them duking it out this weekend. How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing good. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, so we don't have to talk about balloons anymore. We'll get into that later. Chelsea versus Arsenal this weekend. We were very excited about it. Lots of text messages coming back and forth, and the two of them do not agree on the result. So we will get into that as the episode unfolds. But first, we're going to start with the red-hot Manchester City, Ken. We're not going to go in chronological order today. We're just going to go in the order of the interest of the games. Manchester City, Ken, 6-0 at Watford as they absolutely demolished another team in the last three matches they've had. I believe they've scored 10 goals and allowed 0. It might be even more than that. Let me see. It might be 14.
I think they have 15.
Yeah, and they've allowed 0, Ken, and Sergio Aguero runs riot in this one with a nasty hat trick. Basically, Manchester City just beat the living tar out of Watford at Watford, and Watford's been okay this year.
Well, I mean, they were undefeated before this game. I mean, they were a tricky team to come up against. Let's not forget that. I mean, they haven't exactly played scrubs. I mean, they got over on pool, I mean, grinded out some other results, and then City, you know, just another victim to the list. And it doesn't look like it's going to be stopping anytime soon. I mean, now it does look like what you've been hearing the whole summer, like, this is Pep's year. Pep's got his men aligned. They're title favorites. They're going to be not the contenders. They're going to be the ones to win it. And right now, sort of like, you know, echoing what we were talking about, you know, 2 weeks ago with United when they were going on there, you know, 4-0, 4-0, whatever they were doing until the slip up. I mean, it is looking like it's just a matter of which team that dons the name Manchester. Is there going to be a City or a United at the end of it right now? Who wins the title? And right now it's like who can look the best, because both of those clubs are flying high in Manchester, and City's just doing it a little bit easier right now. They look insane, though.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I came out of this with, I mean, obviously you and I, we talk about Aguero all the time. City demolished Feyenoord in the midweek in Champions League, 4-0. Aguero scoring again there. We know Aguero is the man, but when Kevin De Bruyne is in form, he is unstoppable, and he's going to set up one or two goals per game, Ken. And if he's doing that, I mean, City looks unbelievable. Gabriel Jesus, he's still Jesus. He did not give an assist to Sergio Aguero. He scores again here. He dials up the phone or whatever. I know it'll happen.
They're playing too well together. And to me, Aguero is just showing that, you know, the willingness for him to let go of the ball, he's a little bit more mature for sure. And he understands, you know, the greater cause of the actual W. But that'll come. And Jesus is, I mean, there's just not much to say about them. Like, it seems like whoever they play next, it's going to be the same result. It's just a matter of how many goals they win by.
Yeah, I mean, form is form, because 3 weeks, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about them sputtering a little bit, but they have a nice bit of form going here. It is 15 goals and allowing 0. Mendy has also been excellent, Ken. He scares me a little bit.
They've all come in, and it was sort of like, you know, we're right now, at this very moment, we're kind of having to backtrack on what we said about Pep and his men, because they are coming together, and they're forming this weird bond of, we're going to attack until the referee blows his whistle, and then we're going to attack again to make him blow his whistle again to make sure that he actually meant it. Like, these guys are not stopping. It's just goal after goal after goal, and And it just gets to the point, at least it got to the point this weekend where you start feeling bad for Watford. Like, dude, blow the whistle, man. Like, why are you even adding stoppage time? Get these guys off the field. They're at home and they just got spanked. Like,
yeah, it was from beginning to end. Absolutely. City, once again, rolling. I'm not taking back what I said about Pep in the beginning of the year, Ken, which is that I believe you cannot attack all the time. And I think that I want to see them beat a well-organized defense. I want to see them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I want to see them take it to Tottenham. I want to see them take it to United with Jose playing a 4-5-1. I want to see them take it to one of those teams and beat one of these teams that also could counter. Like Chelsea, especially the City-Chelsea games, to me, would be the most interesting City matches of the year, even beyond the United possible title ramifications. I think that I want to see Chelsea's game style against City's because they counter so well, especially if Hazard's playing.
No, exactly right. So I'm just saying, you know, we need to slow down a little bit and let's see if this is for real, if this is for the long haul, or mm-hmm. is this just against a Watford and the like? You know, yeah. So let's get them into, you know, some top six contenders and let's see if they start beating them down. I mean, they already embarrassed Liverpool. I mean, they're a top six club. I mean, again, every club has its day for sure. So we'll just see. I mean, it's form, like you said, so it could last for a while or it could be very, very temporary. And for me and you, I'm hoping that it is temporary. Like yesterday, temporary. Like yesterday was the last time I got to see that.
Yeah, and touching on the Liverpool game, I mean, I think that Liverpool can go to any game and win 4-0. And as we've seen, they can go to any game and lose 4-0. And I think City and Liverpool are not a good matchup because City's offense is so good.
I think you'll see City lose 3-4-0 this season, just like I do think you're going to see United lose 3-4-0 this season.
Yeah, it should happen. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Well, moving on from City, I mean, they're on fire right now. There's not a whole lot to say about them. I'm not going to eat my words yet on Pep because we're in game 5, so I'm not really going to go crazy over it. The team looks awesome right now. They have a cup match in the middle of the week, Ken. They are playing West Brom on Wednesday.
I mean,
so,
they could put out their third string, and they should win 3-4-0. I mean,
I would imagine they'll rotate there, but Aguero is terrifying right now.
They've got 100,000 players.
They do have 100,000 players. Maybe some of the youth will get a look if they're still on the roster at that point. But yeah, City smashes Watford 6-0. We discussed how they beat Liverpool a couple weeks ago, and yeah, it was a beating, but Liverpool was looking to bounce back. Liverpool's been stumbling a little bit, Ken, and they actually stumbled again here. They tied Burnley 1-1, and Klopp was pretty mad.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not be mad? You can't, and it's getting to the point now where how long can Liverpool's defense get looped and kind of combined all together as a Liverpool loss? Because it is a 100% defensive issue at Liverpool. And I think that Klopp has kind of, you know, brought this on himself. I think you were saying something to me a couple of days ago or something, like, you know, he had said something like, go out and find me some better defenders and we'll sign them. Like, do you know who you have? Seriously, someone should be asking him, do you understand that you're playing Lovren as a center back? And you're supposed to be a title contending club, and you've got Lovren playing as your go-to center back? Give me a break, bro. It's going to happen a lot. You're going to get beat like this, and you're going to drop points a lot like this until you can change the defensive mentality of this club. And right now, I mean, you got to wait till January. You don't have anyone else that you can put in. You've got the young kid on the wing. He's getting beat by everyone. Like, he stole something from every single player in England. And they're all making him pay for it. What's his name? That guy on the wing?
Alexander Arnold.
Yeah, Arnold.
Right back? Yeah.
He's getting embarrassed. He's not ready.
Yeah, and I think that goes to show how important Milner actually could be for them if he can stabilize them. But right now, I mean, they tied in the midweek against Sevilla 2-2 because they had a missed clearance that came in where the ball went under the center back's foot, Ken. It was absolutely embarrassing. And if I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm furious about that.
You can't
actually
help but think. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I actually have seen some commentary from Liverpool fans. They're pretty mad, especially about that midweek draw to Sevilla where they had the game in hand, and then they took another draw this weekend, 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that every single Liverpool fan watching these games is just palm to forehead like the whole week, because how many more defensive errors do we have to see? And it does all start at the defense. I mean, you can't expect these guys. I mean, if you're playing Burnley, one goal should be enough, and you should be able to lock it up and play, especially at home. You should be able to win 1-0 against a Burnley. But you can't if the defense is going to be leaking goals like a sieve, like they're doing right now. It is just bad.
Yeah, and I found the quote from Klopp. He said, "We have four center backs. I don't think we need more. Just at the moment, I'm fine. The transfer market is open until August 31st. We cannot force things, and we will never get a center back just for the sake of it. Look out there and tell me five center backs that would make us stronger. Five. Then you will win a prize." That was Jurgen Klopp on August 6th. And the publication that I went with was Football 365. They came up with a list of roughly 20 center backs that have been bought in the last 2 years, including Michael Keane, Davinson Sanchez, Zuma, a couple other guys, Inigo Martinez, Rudiger, Nacho. Like, it goes on
Rudiger,
and on.
I'm suspect on Rudiger.
So. You're not going to take Rudiger over Lovren or Kleiman?
I mean, I'm going to take... No, trust me, and let me be very clear. I would take almost anyone over the defense that Liverpool has right now, and I do not come from a place of disrespect or like any type of like meanness towards Liverpool as a club, but that defense has got to be changed. It is not good enough, and they're going to be the reason you don't make it this season.
Yeah, I think for me, I think it's as much tactical as it is the actual personnel, if not more so. I think I see so many times where the two center backs are either miscommunicating or they're beaten on a simple pass or just beaten, period. They make a mistake. But why are they always in a position? You know, you look at the way Manchester United plays now versus how they played 2 years ago, where David De Gea was our player of the season for two or three seasons in a row because we had so many shots on us. Well, now David De Gea makes two saves a game, and they might be good saves, but he's not getting shots. The center backs haven't really changed. We've gotten Baez come in, but for a while last year we had Blind, we had Phil Jones, we had Smalling. The point is that De Gea was not getting shots last year, and Liverpool is getting shots. And to me, that comes down to tactics. You're not having Jordan Henderson or a real holding midfielder or two holding midfielders, but they don't want to do that because they want to attack more. And I think they can score.
Because until they can get some different personnel on that back four, they're going to need to start taking the pressure off of that back four, whether it means playing a more defensive midfield or, you know, I don't know. Like, they might have to go. I don't even know what their formation is. Do you know off the top of your head in the back? Do they play three or do they play four?
They play four in the back.
They might need to go to three and move. And then, you know, you have essentially four wingbacks on the field, two that play defense and two that can play, you know, box to box just for the extra coverage. Because, like I said, Lovren, he's not making it. He's not cutting it anymore. Arnold, I'm not saying he can't cut it, but he's not cutting it right now. And they don't have anyone else, to your point, in the midfield that is releasing any of the pressure. It's just an onslaught. And when they get put under that pressure, the quality has been put to the test, and it's been shown to not be where it needs to be. That goal shouldn't have been scored today.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think that when you have an offense that can roll the way theirs can, especially with those basically four attacking midfielders that they play and they rotate them through. Like, for me, Firmino is not a nine as much as he is an attacking midfielder in his style. And I think that they have enough that they don't need to supplement those guys with deep-lying midfielders like Henderson coming through. I'd rather, I mean, if I'm a Liverpool fan, I would rather have them put another defensive midfielder in front of the back four and keep them, just give them more numbers going back and allow those top three attacking midfielders, Salah, Coutinho, Firmino, whoever's in there, to win the game for you, because they can do that on their own. They don't need all that extra help. They are good enough to win it without without help.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, Klopp's going to have to do something, because he can't keep giving up points like this, especially giving up points like this at home. Just a weak defending, but yeah.
I mean, the last thing I'll say is that Liverpool had 35 shots, 9 on goal, 71% possession. But Burnley had 5 shots, 4 on goal. That's a really high percentage of your shots on goal. And again, that indicates that the defense is
not pressuring.
They're not pressuring, and they're not in. There's not enough people back and in the right positions to prevent quality opportunities, which is Liverpool's problem. And I think they're going to continue to struggle. That Sevilla draw, I'm sure, it leaves a very bad taste in the mouth. But Liverpool just has to move forward. You know what I mean? They have to adjust. And people are starting to slowly ask questions of Klopp's ideas.
Well, as this kind of thing happens. A bad week like this, and you have points in every single game, people are going to start questioning from the top down. And now it's up to Klopp and that club to just kind of persevere and make it through. Like, you cannot let – it would be a disaster to allow the Manchester City defeat define the rest of the season. And right now, the media, they'll try to do that to you for sure, because now you've had the big loss. You drop points during the week. Now you drop points again at home to Burnley. So, I mean, it's looking like crisis because it's Liverpool. But let's let Klopp see what he's going to do. Let's see if he changes the – he's got to change something, whether it be formation or, you know, like you said, just tactics. But something's got to happen. They got to relieve some pressure off of that back four, because they're just under it too much, and they can't meet the pressure that's being put upon them. So something's got to change.
Yeah, I think that you'll see a few changes. If they don't make any changes, I would worry about them going forward, but they do play on Tuesday, it looks like. They play Leicester away, and that's their cup match. Boy, these are some rough cup draws, Ken, I think it's the fourth round. Usually these Premier League teams will play third tier teams, etc.
Yeah,
that's a tough draw, man.
Yeah, for Liverpool, unfortunately, no break. If they want to contend for that cup, I mean, they can play their cards into the league, but I doubt they're going to do it this early. You would imagine you would try to progress into that cup. So it's just no rest for the teams in England.
So. Yeah, that sucks, man. That's a really tough draw for Liverpool. They have to bounce back, and they actually play Leicester again next weekend. So they got a double Leicester dosage. Leicester not playing particularly well right now, as they drew Huddersfield Town 1-1, and they don't look the same at all. So maybe Liverpool can get a result and start working back towards where they need to be. But Liverpool looking to make some changes and get on a roll again. Right now they are the team in the top six that's struggling. So Leicester City this weekend 1-1 over Huddersfield Town. Really nothing to add to this game, Ken. I watched the highlights. It's a pretty boring game, so we're not going to talk much about that unless you got something you want to add.
Nothing. 1-1.
So moving on to another draw, this one with some talking points in it. Tottenham Hotspur at home against Swansea City, Ken. 0-0. Barf.
I can't tell you that I didn't tell you so. this was a home game for Tottenham, and I don't believe
in the curse.
To come around to the idea, it's not a curse. When you say curse, it makes it sound fake, and it makes it sound trivial.
It is fake.
And no, it's not. You're going to come to realize through Tottenham, I think, this season, that it is very important to have a place to call home. And right now they don't have that. And in this game, they started mentioning, you know, the pitch is a different size than it was at White Hart Lane. The crowd is further back. The fans are further back than they were at White Hart Lane. All of that stuff matters. And when you have Harry Kane hit the crossbar from 6 yards out, on a goal that any other day of the week, any other stadium in the world, he is knocking that in the net, and they go off 1-0. Not to mention the fact it's Swansea. They should be winning here. This should be a game that would break, you know, to use your words, a curse of Wembley. It's not, it's not a curse. It is just the simple fact of it's not our field. It's another away game. Every single game is away. I tried to tell you this in the beginning of the season. And it's going to come to matter because now you're dropping points. They haven't won a game out like that has not been a Premier League game ever in Wembley. They've only been able to win games that are the European Cup games. And these, I mean, they in the middle of the week they smacked Dortmund.
Yeah,
they
huge win.
Dortmund,
huge win
in Wembley. They go into the league where, you know, again, they didn't have a problem playing Champions League games in Wembley. They have a problem playing Premier League games in Wembley. Swansea comes into town and they can't get anything going. I think that this is going to be a continuing story. Every home game at Wembley, I think there's going to be a little bit of a result that you were not expecting to see because you refused to give into the fact that, you know, this is not their home. And I mean, look at the Tottenham last season. What did they drop? Like, what, two games, I think?
At home, they were absolutely unbelievable at home.
They're unstoppable. Now, like, teams will be begging to play them at Wembley.
Yeah, I think watching their midweek game against Dortmund, a huge match for them, especially in that group of in the Champions League. They have Real Madrid in that group, so they absolutely have to beat Dortmund if they want to move on, and they did. They looked so good, Ken. They were up. They won 3-1. Harry Kane was devastating, It looked like the Wembley curse was over, and then they roll into this week, and I'm telling you, you know, you were talking about it not being home. I was shocked at how poor the fans were, how little they seemed to be. The middle tiers are empty in the middle of the field.
That's on purpose.
Yeah, and they're still packing in, I think, 65. They might be packing in 70. But the atmosphere was terrible, Ken. There's no singing. It was so dead and quiet as Tottenham was piling on pressure on Swansea. But still, besides that crossbar ball, I didn't really think that they looked like they were going to win the game. Even with all the possession and all that, they looked like they were going to draw.
Yeah, because they're not comfortable. And that's what I'm saying. No, there's a curse. There's no, like, something like spell put on them that says you're not going to win at Wembley in the league. It's a comfort thing. People, there's a reason they call it home field advantage. You're supposed to have a bigger advantage. They have no advantage this season because they have no home. And that's what we're seeing. And we're going to continue to see it, just in my opinion. And they haven't disappointed yet, so.
Well, I was looking at the Tottenham Hotspur, the Spurs on their website have plan for their new stadium. It looks pretty sick, Ken, although now the actual pitch will come in thirds. So it'll have like seams in it. They say it's seamless, but the whole pitch itself slides in because they have an NFL turf stadium underneath their actual playing surface, Ken, which I thought was really weird.
Yeah, I saw a video of the whole thing. It seems like quite the production to get the soccer field put on. Like, they have to raise the tunnel entrances.
Mm-hmm.
They like move. It looks like they move some of like the benches, like the seats in. They move the benches closer. It's quite the production. I mean, we'll see how it works. I personally don't like the idea of it, but you know, it's going to take a while for them to make that their home. So even next season, I think they're still going to have some growing pains into it based on what they're showing here. Yeah, it's just difficult. It's difficult to not have somewhere to hang your hat. And they don't have anywhere to hang their hat right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me. I can't imagine it's that big of a deal. But looking at West Ham's struggles, West Ham moved into the Olympic Stadium last year. It's bigger, but it's also their fans are also off the actual pitch, kind of like Wembley. And West Ham has struggled since they moved into that stadium. So maybe, Ken, maybe there's a little something to be said about playing a little out of your element. But in my opinion, Ken, I think that the fans have more to do with it than anything else, and I think that they didn't show up for the Swansea game.
They didn't. They didn't, and we'll come to see. I'm not looking to change your mind. I'm just looking at you to say that I was right at the end of the season, and we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see is right. So Tottenham drops points. Jose Mourinho says it's a huge deal that Liverpool and Tottenham drop points. He said City doesn't even matter because they did their job. That's all they did. Jose saying that the big results of the weekend were Spurs dropping points and Liverpool dropping points. And I agree with that, Ken. I don't know how you feel, because the next match we're going to talk about, I don't think there are any points dropped. And you can tell me what you think about the Chelsea versus Arsenal game at Stamford Bridge. Drop points or not, Ken?
I think it's a point gained, honestly. I mean, and I know people, it's going to come across as, oh, he doesn't even want Arsenal to win. He doesn't expect them to win. I mean, you expect Arsenal to be able to go to Chelsea and hold their own. But let's look at the away game that we've seen this so far was at Stoke. And we dropped a goal pretty early into the game going in into that, and then we couldn't catch up. Today was a defensive, organized display. And if I'm being honest, Chelsea never looked like they were going to win that game more than Arsenal looked like they were going to lose that game if anything was going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Chelsea's at home. They should be on the front foot. And for the better part of the first half, it was all Arsenal. And it can be argued, if Wenger, I mean, and I don't want to get onto a Wenger rant right now, but I still very much am on the, like, I'm still on my Wenger out bus right now. He needs to be gone before the 2 years is up. You're still not starting Sanchez. With the amount of pressure that we were putting on Chelsea in the first half, it's argued that Sanchez, the quality of Sanchez would have been able to put a goal away, and we would have won that game, 1-0. Because Chelsea never looked like scoring. Besides the brief moment, the first 5 or 6 minutes that they subbed on Eden Hazard, that did change the game. But within 5 or 6 minutes, Arsenal closed him down as well. And he made it, I think he made it past, you know, halfway to the box twice after he came on. But it was very organized, very, very defensive. Usually we hold our line way too high. We get caught on the counter. Everyone knows that Chelsea's going to play like that. They are very fast players. But we stopped them. I think that we played like you should play away. The issue is with Arsenal is we don't win the games that we should be winning at home. So if we were a club that could win every game we needed to, and then we draw Chelsea away, everyone looks at this completely different. Like, this is perfect. We went in there, did our job. Now let's go on and win the next couple of games at home.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm interested to hear from Tyler, because we were texting back and forth in the group, and both of you were on different wavelengths as to what they actually saw. So, Tyler, now that we've given Ken a chance to say what he saw, what'd you see?
He's stunned silent.
Well, I'm going to start this by framing this, and Ken, I'm going to ask you... I'm going to ask you to go back, I don't know, about 6 years. Do you remember, Ken, when they were making a big deal about the fact that Henry wasn't accurate with his headers, and then he came in and he scored that diving header?
I remember this specifically, and it was, I don't know why we're going to bring this up unless you have a bigger picture here, but that was against Manchester United.
And yeah.
That was when we won in stoppage time.
Oh, I know. And yeah, it was a sick header.
The announcer said right before, I want to say it was Gail Clichy sent in a cross. And, oh, I mean, Thierry Henry, if he could score with his head, I mean, it would be a different story up there, but he can't. And he ripped a header right down the middle of Van der Sar's head.
Yeah.
Right in between his hands, and we go off, and I think we won. I think we made the game 2-1.
Yeah, you guys won. Okay. I hated that.
Yeah.
Remember, I slid across our living room in our apartment, in that crappy apartment in Coffeesville. I ripped my jeans. Remember that? I ripped my jeans on a power slide.
That's awesome.
You were making my point. You were making my point.
Oh, man.
That's exactly
good time.
What I was
going to
bring
time.
Up. And that is the level of... That is the level of excitement that you should have right now to have come in and tied a vastly superior team.
This is your argument, sir. We're going to have a long day.
So the second half of that game was entirely Chelsea's game. You guys were unable to do anything that put anything together that looked even vaguely threatening in the second half with Sanchez in. Hazard looked amazing. I think now that he's healthy and he's coming back in, he's going to be a huge boon to Chelsea. And the the fact that after the red card came, well, slightly before the red card and then after the red card, you guys got to the point where you knew that you couldn't do anything. Even with 10 men, you were still threatened by Chelsea. So what did you do? You started fouling left and right, 3 yellow cards within 5 minutes. And I think that just shows how scared you guys are of a top flight club like Chelsea.
Ken, you have to
repeat. My gosh. You are unbelievable. You are absolutely unbelievable. Do you realize when David Luiz got that yellow card, I looked directly over to my wife and I said, oh, this is fantastic. He's not going to finish this game. We're going to be playing man up. Now, the issue with your, to your point of we couldn't score a goal with 10 minutes, could you tell me the minute that David Luiz was sent off?
87.
The 88th minute.
88.
He set off in the 88th minute. That's not a lot of time. It's not a lot of time to organize yourself against 10 men. And that's not even the issue. It doesn't matter. I think what the biggest issue is here is Chelsea could not come in flying high like you are in your dumb little balloon over there. I'm sure they got one too. And you're at home playing, you know, what everyone, all I hear every week is, Arsenal is the best team to play in the top six. They can't win games. They're terrible. They suck. They're the worst team in the top of England. We love playing them. They're so simple. They're not consistent. They can't do games. They can't string results together. When you go away to, let's not forget, Tyler, you're the defending champions. We go away to you, and we grind out a draw like that, and you bring up fouls. David Luiz goes and tries to break Kolasinac's shin because he got mad at him because they got into a little pushing match 3 minutes before. So because David Luiz is the red card walking that he is, can't get out of his emotions, goes and does a ridiculously sloppy tackle. I mean, he already had a yellow, by the way, and the referee showed him a direct red. So that's how bad the foul was. But let's not spend too much time on that. Let's go into...
Which was ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
That was ridiculous.
Really? That was... Okay, do we need to go into the definition of what a red card is?
All right, so I'm going to stop you guys there and give my unbiased opinion on this before you guys kill each other. I'll let you fight afterwards, after I'm finished here. But, I mean, basically, from what I saw, I thought that it was an even match with a slight edge to Arsenal in the first half, if only because mentally, coming into this game, even you, Ken, would have to say that Arsenal showing up the way they did in the first half, not buckling, looking like a team that belonged there and that belonged to play against Chelsea and even with Chelsea, I think you have to say that that was a win for them in the beginning. Danny Welbeck missed a header because, honestly, he's not a finisher. And that was it was a tough header, no doubt about it. But in a big game like that, that's why you don't have Danny Welbeck leading the line, because he's not going to finish his opportunities.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he was starting, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, he's been on form, he's been scoring goals, so, I mean, I guess I kind of get it. I think Giroud would have been a better option, but anyway, Welbeck misses a header. Pedro gets a breakaway, 6 yards clear, and basically, Ken, he just craps his pants and can't control the ball. He was completely free and ended up putting a nothing shot on goal against Czech. So yeah. Chelsea couldn't score there. It looked like they were going to sneak a goal in, like they seem to do a lot, but they were unable to. And I think I give the slight edge to Arsenal in the first half. Very minimal, just maybe because of mentally coming in there and showing up for the match as opposed to that Liverpool match.
Jesus, with the Liverpool thing. We get it.
That's I'm what just happened. Saying. They have the ability to not show up for matches. They had a good midweek. They won their Europa League game 3-1 and looked good doing it. But again, they did not start Sanchez in this match. And they did not play Ozil.
I don't know why. We'll find out, I guess. Hopefully. Yeah. We better get a good reason.
Ozil's injured, and Sanchez came on as a sub. And that's where I think things got really interesting in the match, is when Sanchez came on the pitch and Eden Hazard came on for Chelsea as both teams played their ace in the hole.
Yeah, what did the announcer say? Wenger plays Sanchez and Conte raises a Hazard.
Yeah. They had it dead right, though. I mean, it was a chess match, which you like to see. And most importantly, Ken, Arsene Wenger hanging with Conte in the chess match, whereas a lot of people, a lot of flack goes to Wenger, but he did enough in this match to get a 0-0 draw. A couple other things that stuck out to me. You saying David Luiz is going to get sent off. Yeah, he did look like he was going to get sent off in the match, and he absolutely was. Not on a double yellow. I think the ref could have given him a second yellow there as opposed to a straight red. But it looked exactly like the Cahill red card where you lose the ball and immediately go in for a brash tackle, studs up, and who was it he hit? Did he hit Kolesniak or did he hit... He didn't hit Chaka. Okay.
But
he went down like he got his leg broken, and you knew Luis was gone. And Luis was laughing about it, but it's really not that funny because you're banned. And
he wasn't laughing about it. He was arguing with the referee. Like, he didn't understand what was going on. Like, you were, no matter what, getting sent off.
Yeah.
And you arguing with a straight red? I mean, a straight red is a shins up, a studs up to the shins. That's attack. That's a red card.
Yeah, and it was another red card for Chelsea. I believe they're third in the Prem this year. Is that right? I think that's right.
I don't know how many reds they have, but yeah, they have at least two.
Well, they have Fabregas, Cahill, and Luis, although Fabregas is a double yellow. But yeah, I mean, another poor decision by Chelsea. It was in the 87th minute, so it didn't matter much. Also, a note, I think if Hazard is on form, he scores that goal where he did a stutter step against Koscielny. And banged a ball, which Cech caught. I couldn't believe Cech caught that ball.
Like he had glue in his gloves.
Yeah, that ball was ripped. I thought it was an even match across the board, although it should have, to me, been 1-1. The last note I'll say is, I told you Morata was not going to score, and Morata was garbage in this game.
I'll go first on Morata.
Absent. Absent.
Dude, yeah, now... We've said this pretty much every episode. I refuse to give any type of kudos or good on yous to Morata, especially if he's going to play the rest of the season the way he played today. If I'm a Chelsea fan, I'm disgusted that he even wears my jersey. He played like the typical pretty boy Spanish player. Coming over to England, he's already come out publicly and said that he thinks that the English defenders are just rough and tumble, like they don't know how to play, so they tackle. But every single time he gets touched, he thinks it's a foul. When he rips a player down to the ground and they get a call foul on him, he can't believe that it is a foul. If he spent as much time worried about figuring out how to score goals consistently and not look like such a Nancy in England as he does complaining to the referees.
That's a good word, Ken.
Maybe we wouldn't be so tough on him, but today I thought he was very, very annoying to watch and really worthless as a striker.
So Ken, speaking of consistency, how many Arsenal players have scored more consistently than he has? Any?
No. Yeah, I mean, to the point now, but also no Arsenal player lately has been touted as, you know, this savior and this Diego Costa replacement. At least with Diego Costa, we had some entertainment. And for Chelsea fans, you guys had goals and you guys were going to win the league. If you think Morata is going to win you the league, you are sadly mistaken.
I don't think
he cost you $70 million.
I don't think that he's going to win the league in the way of Diego Costa.
He has to, because you got rid of someone who did.
But I think that he plays his part. He fits in well, and he's 3 for 5 right now.
He does fit in well with Chelsea, like the rest of those babies.
And I still
Tyler, you don't have to argue with that if you don't want to.
No, I'm not.
Let's wrap up the Chelsea versus Arsenal 0-0.
It was just so annoying to watch.
So Tom, I do have to ask you, as the neutral third party, what is the outcome of the bet? Do we just... swept away?
It's a push. It's a push unless you both want to wear the jerseys. I don't think that's necessary.
You know what I think was a good sign for Arsenal today? Honestly, more anything off the pitch. I don't know if you guys were paying attention to all the little details, but I think when Aaron Ramsey hit the post, they panned over to the Arsenal sideline and Sanchez is jumping up and down, slapping other players' backs, like, you know, getting really into the game. Like, so, I mean, now I'm not delusional. I am aware he's leaving. But if we can get an excited Sanchez that wants to play for the rest of the season, that's a victory, and it was worth keeping him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you can get him back, that is a huge victory, although I don't know how I feel about him playing in the Europa League in the midweek. He did play well. But
I thought him starting then meant he was going to start today. Like,
during the Chelsea game. I couldn't believe he didn't. Especially we played Alex Iwobi. I got nothing wrong with Iwobi, but I got a big problem with Iwobi at the cost of a Sanchez on the bench.
Yeah, and didn't Welbeck go off in this game?
Yes, and it was so dumb because he should have been the one that was subbed off, but they subbed off somebody else for Sanchez. I can't remember who, but he should have come off at the time, and he gets on, and now just like Danny Welbeck does, scores a couple of goals, and we could argue that. I mean, your consistency point, Tyler. Danny Welbeck scored a couple goals this season already, probably as many as. And this is not any facts that I have. I'm just defending my boys right now. But he's probably scored as much as your little pretty boy Morata has. And he's terrible. But now Danny Welbeck is injured, and we probably won't see him for 6 months.
Yeah, probably. You were asking about the Sanchez sub. Lacazette came off for Sanchez.
Why do we move Lacazette off? I really thought the whole thing was we were going to see Sanchez and Lacazette play, and we still have yet to see it.
Yeah, I didn't think Lacazette played very well in this match.
He didn't really have anyone around him either.
Yeah, he didn't have any touches. So we're going to wrap it up. It's 0-0 draw. Ken, you're happy with a point.
I'll take the point away.
Tyler, how do you feel about a point?
I'm happy with it. We stay in third.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we faced a top six club and came out with a point. And, you know, my balloon didn't go up, but it stayed aloft. Stayed where it was.
God, I hate your balloon. I can't wait for that balloon to get popped and then we never talk about it again. Speaking about balloons, Manchester United, Ken, is flying right now. They win 4-0 over Everton, although it's a little bit of a flattering scoreline. United scored again 3 more times after the 80th minute, perhaps when Everton was looking to open it up. And did you see the Valencia goal in the 4th minute, Ken?
Holy cow, yeah, I saw that. That was ridiculous.
It's worth looking up.
Goal of the season, maybe.
It's worth looking up. Bouncer that he caught on the volley from around the corner of the 18 absolutely blasted into the upper corner of the opposite post. No chance for the Pickford, the keeper. Absolute bunker-busting missile from Antonio Valencia, who will score probably one goal this year. And if that's going to be your goal, you can retire on that one. That was absolutely destroyed.
That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and on the other side, Everton actually had some opportunities. Unfortunately for them, they fell to Wayne Rooney, Ken, who over the last 2 or 3 matches, as Everton has not scored since, I believe, August 24th. And they got smoked midweek in Europa 3-0. They've been losing all their games and not scoring. The ball falls to Wayne Rooney, and he gets a lucky break as the ball comes off the defender. He still can't score, Ken.
Yeah.
He looks dunzo.
Yeah, he's off the mark. I mean, it's Wayne Rooney, so you tread lightly when, you know, you start throwing out the words like you're done and everything.
He's going to decide when he's done.
So
yeah, he'll still get some goals because his positioning is so good. Like, he gets those opportunities.
He had a couple chances today if he had an extra step.
But he doesn't have an extra step.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
And I love what Wayne Rooney did. We keep seeing, especially over the last week, the Manchester United Facebook feed was showing all these old Wayne Rooney highlights where he's banging balls in from 25 yards out or on fast breaks, chipping the keeper. And you're like, wow, that guy was unbelievable. And he has 10,000 miles on his tires, Ken. He's been playing with the big boys since he was 16 years old. And he plays 11 and a half months a year, basically, because he was playing for England, too. The guy never got a break, and I think it's just showing now. And it's a problem for Everton because they don't have anybody scoring goals.
Well, Everton doesn't have anyone doing anything.
Not right now.
Cummins is the way that Everton, you know, play every season. I would not be surprised if these results continue. You start seeing Cummins come under some pressure, and you start seeing a little bit of smoke around. If this stuff does not turn around, we might have to look elsewhere. Because you spent a ton of money. And by the way, Pickford, what a terrible keeper he is.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
He's bad. I mean, he looked disgusting. Like, on 2 occasions today, he cleared the ball directly to a Manchester United player.
That was really bad.
Within 20 yards. Like, they barely left the box.
Yeah, he had really poor clearances.
He looked like honestly, it was his first game as a professional. And I you know, everyone's going to have a bad game. I mean, unfortunately for you, your bad game was at Manchester United, a team that is absolutely going to destroy any mistake that you make. And he just made way too many mistakes, especially with the price tag that he cost Everton. And I think a lot can be put on him because he doesn't do any favors. He doesn't instill any confidence into the defense. That's for sure.
Yeah.
When the defense feels like the keeper's not going to block anything, they're under a lot more pressure.
Yeah. And I was surprised at how poorly Everton played. I haven't watched all their games this year, but to see them lose the way they did,
they were not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. They were not really in the match. I mean, they weren't out of it per se. They still have their moments, but watching Wayne Rooney be on the end of their plays in the form he's in right now, you just knew that they weren't going to score.
Well, the problem with this game, the game is, this is arguably the best they've looked in four games.
Yeah, and they could definitely say that.
I mean, now granted, they played their best game against a flying Manchester United, but still, when you are looking your best and the result is 4-0, and when three of those goals come within 8 minutes of each other, that's a massive issue. And that's why I would not be surprised. I mean, to see you get a couple more results like this and you might be hearing Cummins' name come across the line. Like, how long is this guy going to last?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because I don't know if you saw it, but in the pre-programmed notes that come out, Jose Mourinho actually wrote about Everton. He said, when you have a team that spends over $140 million, you have to imagine that they think they're going to finish in the top four or challenging for the top four. Basically, he totally turned it around on Koeman and put as much pressure on Koeman as possible by saying, you spent all this money, pal. I don't want to hear any excuses about it. And setting up United in case there was a draw or a loss, Jose could say, well, they spend all this money. Which is interesting.
Well, that's what Jose does best. And
he does.
I didn't see that, but that's what I'm alluding to.
It's a jerk move, though.
When you spend so much money. Jerk move. Yeah, I mean, well, he's going to do anything and everything possible to make sure there's absolutely no pressure on himself or his team. And, you know, a lot of people look at that as a positive. You know, you got to do whatever you can. I mean, it's dog-eat-dog world that these guys live in. So anytime they can keep the pressure away from them is good. And whoever happens to fall in front of the gun, yeah, sorry, not sorry. You know, I mean, better you than me. But that's what I'm going to. Cummins spent a lot of money. And these are players that he wanted. Just like we were saying about Pep in the beginning, like during the summer, you know, he's now showing that, you know, that is the reason I didn't get the result you wanted last season. I didn't have my guys in here. Now I got my guys in here. And look what we're doing. We're killing it. Yeah. Smashing it just like I told you I would. Koeman, you know, 130, 140, 150. I don't know what it was, but it was a lot of damn money. And now, what do you have to show for it? Three games goalless.
Pretty poor. Also, they're playing poorly and losing heavily to teams that they thought they were going to compete with.
Yep.
So, yeah, Manchester United wins 4-0. Mkhitaryan adds a goal in the 83rd. Assist from Lukaku, a pretty basic goal, but good to see the big man looking up.
What do you think about his celebration?
And then Lukaku scored in the 89th minute and celebrated, having previously come from Everton and gotten booed throughout the game. He put a hand to his ear.
I don't
like to see that kind of stuff, honestly.
I liked it, honestly. I was like, you know what? You know, forget it. You didn't really cry when I left. You boo me when the next time you see me. So I can't hear you. That was three, by the way.
Yeah, I just think it's dumb. Like, you know, would Wayne Rooney wouldn't have done that if he had scored. I think it's
Lukaku's not Wayne Rooney.
I know, but Lukaku had good seasons for Everton and especially last year propelled them into seventh. And this year, without him and having Wayne Rooney replace him and the other guy up top that they played late, I guess Sanchez, I think it is.
Yeah.
Like, they're in trouble. Like, they're not going to get relegated or anything like that, but for the amount of money they spent, they should be competing for the Europa spot in sixth or seventh. And they don't look like they're going to do that. They look like they're going to get thumped out of Europa right away.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough when you spend that much.
Nope.
It's just not. No other team is spending that unless they're in the top six. And even then, the other top six teams Only City outspent Everton. Like, they spent a ton of money. That's not a good enough result for them. They're not playing well enough. And, you know, Martial adds a late penalty goal to just rub all the salt in the wound. Martial coming off the bench again and scoring, by the way, Ken. Although it was a penalty kick. But they get the win. So, I mean, United looking good, trying to hang with City. I guess you could say they're hanging with City, although Jose said we don't care about the City match. We only care about the Tottenham and the Liverpool matches where they drop points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is interesting. It's good to see. I'm excited about it. We move into the middle of the week with Manchester United playing against Burton Albion. There's a cup draw for you, Ken. Well, Man United versus Burton.
Of course, Man United getting all the good draws.
Get out of here. Arsenal plays Doncaster, and Chelsea plays Nottingham Forest against, again, this is on Wednesday. These will be cup matches. You'll see the youth for a lot of these games, I think. The youth and Sanchez in Arsenal's case, as they continue to play their best player in worthless matches. Well, other games of note for the week. Southampton versus Crystal Palace. Ken Frank de Boer did not make it to this match. He got fired after four games, which I think is terrible.
I can't say I didn't see that coming. I mean, it might have been a little earlier than I thought, but the signs were there. The signs were there.
Yeah, all I want to say about it is, okay, so you hired this guy in the summer to be your manager for the year. He makes all these plans. He does all this preseason. And then you fire him after four games. What was the point of hiring him in the first place if you didn't have the faith in him to make it beyond that?
I mean, they weren't expecting him to not just the results, but they were poor displays.
Yeah, they were. They were getting shots. They were poor displays. They're losing against bad teams, too. Right. I mean, I know it's a big deal and relegation's a big deal. I don't know. I don't see the point of that. And you have to pay the guy. On the other hand, Frank de Boer also spent about the same amount of time, that is to say 80 days in charge of Inter about two or three seasons ago. So this isn't his first time getting axed really quickly. And you have to wonder about Crystal Palace's hiring process in the first place. If you're just going to hire a guy and fire him in 4 days or four games.
I don't think that was the plan. I think that's just based on the results that they had, the teams that they played, and the way that they displayed themselves as a Premier League club was not, you know, the way that the board sees Crystal Palace. And it's time to go before, you know, the train gets any further off the track than it already is.
I guess so. I mean, right now we've had five matches played, and he was fired after four, but five matches played. Arsenal is in 12th. Everton is in 18th place. Liverpool is in 8th. Tottenham's in 5th. I mean, it's five matches now, but it's four matches. I just feel like it's...
We also don't know what goes on in the back. I mean, maybe he was leading them to believe that he didn't really care.
I guess. I don't know.
You see what's on the field, like, and his little interviews that he does. And, you know, you come into a new club, who knows what he promised them? You know, it's not like they got a bad team. They've got players, you know, that know what they're doing. There's no excuse for them to be losing. It could have just been a way. We don't see this guy changing his mindset or, you know, the way that he's going to manage the club. Let's get him out before it's too late.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think it's dumb to hire a guy and then only give him four games. But anyway, he's gone. And Roy Hodgson comes in, former England manager Roy Hodgson.
Poor bastard.
Great, great old English guy. Could be one of those. Could definitely sit with one of the Muppets. Those, you know, those old Muppets that sit at the top. He looks like he could sit there. You know, we'll see what happens with that. I don't think he plays particularly attractive football. He was formerly in charge of Liverpool a while ago, Ken. I don't know if you remember that, but I'm sure Liverpool fans do. Other results of the weekend, AFC Bournemouth beats Tyler's Brighton, Hove, and Albion 2-1. Devastating match for Tyler. He texted me about it. He's very upset. Newcastle United beats Stoke City 2-1. A good result for them.
Fourth place Newcastle.
Get out of here. West Brom versus West Ham. 0-0 draw at West Brom. West Ham needs to do better than that, although their manager said that it was fine.
Well, there was a bigger issue in that game. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. Now, let's rewind the clock back a week ago. to Manchester City versus Liverpool, where Mane goes in one-on-one against, what's his, Ederson.
Yeah.
It's a high tackle. They deem it very dangerous with intent. An immediate red card. Today, you can go watch the highlight later. Foster rolls, like he's about 25 yards out. One-on-one with Chicharito, studs are up. It's well above the shin level. It's a yellow card. He completely takes Chicharito out. The Chicharito had pushed the ball to the side. Foster gets a yellow. Back to my argument. That is not a red card if Mane does not go in on Ederson. See, it's got to be the same. Whether or not, whether it's a goalie or an outfield player, a tackle is a tackle, an intentional tackle is an intentional tackle. It doesn't matter. The goalie shouldn't get any more precedence over anyone else that, you know, it's a goalie, so he's not going to get a red card for doing that. One, you're 25 yards out. Two, it's a heinous tackle. Like, he was never going to get the ball. And, I mean, would it have mattered? I don't know. Who knows? It's West Ham. They're not really looking like they want to win games anyway. It wouldn't have been a PK because he was 25 yards out. But that's still a red card. It's a red card offense. And, you know, since you didn't see it, we can't really have an argument about it. But, you know, look at that up. Look that up. It's a definite red card. I'm curious to see what everyone else thinks about it. But this is definitely a red card. No one else was saying that. Everyone else was saying, no, it's a yellow. You know, it's the keeper going out on a striker. This, that, and the other. Like, no, it's a player going against a player, and the studs are up on his shin. It's a red.
Yeah, I think there will always be opportunities, like, especially the same is true of penalties, where there will be fouls in the box that are not fouls in the middle of the field, or vice versa, that are fouls in the box that are not called, that would easily be called in the middle of the field, but because it's a penalty kick, they don't call it. So you do have some refs that are gun-shy and that are afraid to make the right call.
But yeah, so, I mean, besides that, it was an absolutely... Boring
that's why I didn't watch it. That didn't sound good at all.
It's definitely a red. 100% a red. So
anyway, so we have League Cup match throughout the week on Tuesday and Wednesday, which we've already gone over. Next weekend's games to look for. For me, I think, Ken, I think the one that sticks out is probably the West Ham versus Tottenham game because it's at West Ham and Spurs. It's a London match. So both teams are from London, and I think that one is really important for the Spurs.
Well, it's away, so they'll win. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's an early one, 7:30. Southampton versus Manchester United at Southampton. That's a good game for United. Away match, important. Southampton not playing particularly well, but starting to show a little bit of life. Chelsea plays at Stoke, Ken.
We'll see if Stoke can just add another victim to their list.
Oh, the at Stoke train. Tyler, your stupid balloon is headed to Stoke.
The way you play today, you will lose 1-0 to Chelsea, to Stoke, at Stoke.
Stoke City, baby. We'll see what happens there. Ken and I will be rooting against Chelsea very actively. Manchester City looking to beat Crystal Palace by 7 or 8 at Manchester City.
7 or 8.
If you want to bet, I'm guessing the line on that will probably be 3.5, and I would take the over if I were a betting man. Which
maybe the line should be, how long does this guy have a job? Like, he's not coming into some good games here.
Well, Hodgson, if I had a guess, you might get 6 in the back in that match as City looks to continue demolishing teams. And besides that, Liverpool plays at Leicester. Leicester is not proving to be the test that we thought, Ken. That's the only real match I see that could be interesting with Liverpool having a little bit of stumble in form.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's Liverpool. They're not playing that well. Leicester, you know, they've kind of been had. You know, everyone knows their trick. They're counterattacking. So technically, if you can stop that, you should have a chance. The issue is that defense, though. Whew, that defense.
Yeah, if they do their high press and allow Vardy to get in behind, Vardy will have a party, and he will score goals.
It's going to be a
wrap. That's what he does. So I think Liverpool will bounce back here, though. I think they're too strong, and Leicester does not look good this year. So there's that match, and then the last match of the weekend will be Arsenal versus West Brom at the Emirates. And that's on Monday. So, Ken, you have to... and we'll do lunch or something like that. We'll watch that game.
We'll see. I'm a busy guy, Tom. I'm a busy guy.
Get out of here. All right. Well, I don't have anything else to add, Ken, unless you do.
I've got nothing.
We'll toast to Tyler's balloon getting popped at Stoke City. And we'll move on from there. Hope everybody has an awesome week and you enjoyed it. We appreciate you guys listening. If you want to drop a review on iTunes, we appreciate that too. And Ken, I'm out.